Happy Halloween, everybody. Welcome to the Witches Movie Coven. Witches talking about witches and witch movie in witch season. So we're all dressing up just a little tiny bit for you today. And we are doing a movie that we thought was very appropriate for the season, for the day, The Witch, from 2015, I believe. But let us all introduce ourselves. I am Patty Negri. I am one of your hosts. You might know me from The Witching Hour. I actually do have a brand new Ghost Adventures on tonight. Actually, if you're back east, it's on right now. So wait, tape it, watch it later. If you're on the east, west coast, it's at 9 o'clock. And then I'm leaving for New Orleans. Yay. Anyway, Courtney, who are you?
I am the walking billboard for mysterycontrol.com. I am surrounded by witches movie coven cloaks. So I am wearing one and my chair is wearing one. And then I have a special Patty Spellcaster one for my kid. You may have noticed my delightful arm wear. Okay, matching fingerless gloves, which is amazing. And then because of FOMO and how susceptible I am to advertising, I didn't even know that we had a new sweatshirt until the ad came up on my Facebook feed. And then I immediately went and slammed the order button. So now I have a new Black Phillips sweatshirt that I also just opened today. So I am mysterycontrol.com.
You are indeed. And that is a nice new shirt. I like that. We are today going to live deliciously. Richard Lael.
Hello. Yes, I am Richard Lael, and today I am not wearing a costume, surprisingly. I am wearing a mask because I thought that it was prettier than the face that was underneath. But anyway, I am, I guess, Black Phillip in human forms.
Ooh, I like
the feather.
I can see it.
Thank you. Miss Heather.
Hi, I'm Heather Green, and today I am the Supreme, or at least trying to be the Supreme, from New Orleans. But yes, I am here, and I am so excited to be getting ready for Halloween and then Samhain. I have been doing a few private talks with I have one at a library coming up, all Zoom, and then I had a small pagan group. They were wonderful. So I've been doing some talks on movies and witches and talking about our wonderful Wednesday night. So I hope some of the guys I spoke with this week were really excited to join. To hi to anybody from the group that I spoke with on Monday. If you're here, hi, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. And royally, Jason.
When you have pretty hair like this, you can't hide it under a hat or a cloak. So that's just out for me. I am wearing purple velvet and a giant pan necklace. I'm dressed up as 70s occultist. And tonight, as soon as the show's over, I'm going to a key party with my wife in classic 70s style.
Woo!
We are not really doing that, and she would kill me if she had heard me say
it. I do have to say, Jason, you hit the costume on the money for any horror, 70s horror movies that lead coven male witches. So you did it perfectly.
Yeah, this is it. You got to have the big chunky necklace.
Absolutely.
Right, yeah.
It reminds me a little bit of the Love Witch, the pagan. It's not 70s, but they were 70s inspired. So, yes, spot on, Jason.
Thank you. I hate that guy, but as soon as I put this necklace on, I was like, oh my God, I am that dude. Please forgive me, Lord and Lady, for I have sinned if witches can sin, but we really can't because we don't believe in that.
And the hair goes so perfectly with it. Ah. All right. So, we are doing the movie The Witch tonight. Before we go to Heather with all the facts, we want to get the lovely non-biased rundown from Richard Lael.
I will absolutely give an unbiased rundown of this show, of this film. So it is New England in the 1600s. This family, and this film is really about a family and their struggles. It represents that they are Adam and Eve who have been kicked out of their garden. And the garden was, of course, the little village where they were, the little farm where they were. and they have to go make their way in the wilderness, and they have to toil, and they have to worry. And there is a young girl. She jokingly says that she is a witch to scare off her siblings. And then there is, of course, she happens to be there when the child gets abducted. And there may be a group of witches who live in the wood, in the great wood, into the woods, you might say. There are witches who might live in the woods, who might be eating children and using their baby fat to do horrible things like fly. So in the interim, then they, as the joke that she had used, that she was the witch, she actually begins to believe that maybe she is. And then more children end up by disappearing, and the father is always chopping wood. And it's that symbol of his toil, like Adam having to toil in the earth. And of course, they have the best 17th century English accents ever, because it was so natural and so flowy. And then all the time, there's this black goat that is named Black Philip. And Black Philip is this rambunctious sort of anthropomorphic evil that exists. And it turns out that he is, in fact, the protagonist. And when her family is slaughtered, inevitably, by the goat, Allison, I think that's her name, Allison.
Thomason.
Thomason ends up by going to meet this Black Philip, who delivers the most delicious line in...
It's my only quote. Don't say it.
I will not say it, but it is the most delicious line in the entire cinema history. And I'm not going to say it because that is Courtney's only quote. And then, of course, Thomason ends up by going to the wood where she has a new family of covens. And I do find, though, that it's interesting. There is a lot of focus on her bazooms, on her breasticles, because because it talks about the sin of Adam. And then when you think about if Adam and Eve, in a biblical sense, have been forced out of the garden, then they had Cain and Abel, and then who did Cain and Abel have to have their children? Anyway, it's very early American independent film. It's brilliantly done. And that's all I'm going to say before we get any further, before I give any opinions. Unbiased.
Thank you. Clear as day. It's beautiful. All right. Now, should we go to the facts about the movie? Miss Heather, who knows all these things?
Oh, I don't know all the facts, but this movie came out, you know, in terms of witch films, it came out as witch films were popular, okay? It came out at a time when the witch films that we were seeing were really hitting on the idea of the oppressed person, of witchcraft in the face of struggle and extremism. You're talking about a time when we're seeing the Me Too movement and Black Lives Matter and a lot of social movements. We're seeing a lot at this time, 2015-16. You just take yourself back for a moment and think about the political and the social scenes at that time. So we're seeing a lot of people pushing back against encroaching oppressions, encroaching conservatism that is hurting them, harming them, and all of their various things that were going on at the time. So that's usually when witchcraft films start to get really popular. If you read my book, I show it, I demonstrate that. And that's the case. Witchcraft is seen in these films as being throughout this period of time, the 2010s, as being something that is for the oppressed woman specifically, but just something that gives you power and freedom, even if it's not specifically political. So in this film, you're seeing that playing out in a different way. And what's fascinating about this film is from a witch film historian, I think there's probably not many of us, standpoint is that this film is just as much, is fantastic because that's my opinion, but I'm not supposed to be giving opinions, but it tells a story, but on top of that, there's a lot of symbolism. And in that symbolism, it encapsulates a lot of what we talk about in all the other witch films and all the other witch symbolism. So it talks about, it has fairy tales, it has biblical stuff like Richard Lael spoke about. It also has, it encapsulates the Salem story in its own way, or what, it's not specifically Salem, but it's talking about religious extremism, which most Salem stories are based on some form of oppression or religious extremism. So this movie is really symbolic as much as it is a story, and it's really encapsulating all these things that these other movies during this period of time and all the way going back to 1896 at the beginning of Hollywood have really taken, used the witch for, or represented the witchcraft and witch for. So this really is a really solid film in terms of that. And of course, again, it's in the period of time where we're seeing a lot of popularity for witchcraft films in a lot of respects. This is one of the few that really takes it to the next level in terms of symbolism and meaning. So we can talk about the woods, we can talk about fairy tales here, we can talk about Salem here, we can talk about the symbolism of feminism and coming of age. All of these things are taken into this one film and wrapped in this really small story about a family. So it's really a very interesting film in terms of witchcraft movies. And Robert Eggers I think this is his breakout film, if I remember correctly. And he has done several since. I've seen The Lighthouse. I don't know. I think it was called The Lighthouse. I've seen that one. He is an independent filmmaker. He's very aggressive in terms of what he tries to do with films. So it's very interesting just from a cinematic perspective as well. Yes.
Thank
you,
Jason.
Jason?
So there's one other thing there's one other thing that's really great about this movie is that a lot of the dialogue is taken directly from witch trials. And Robert Eggers went back and he looked at things that happened during that century and he put them directly into his movie. One of the most influential books in the modern witchcraft revival is called The Witch Cult in Western Europe by Dr. Margaret Alice Murray, which was released in 1921. And it was an exciting book because it said that witchcraft was a religion that existed in opposition to Christianity. But even more importantly, the witches were doing things that were fun and were full of joy. And it got people excited about witchcraft. And if you've ever loved that book or its sequel, The God of the Witches from 1931, The Witch really brings those books to life. A lot of the imagery seems like it comes directly from Margaret Murray. And I love Dr. Margaret Murray. Also, this is just an aside, and I just like to throw it out. Her biography was called My First 100 Years. She was an optimist all the way up till the very end. So there's just layers to this movie that make it so great. But I'm not giving my opinion of the movie. I'm just giving my opinion of the script, which takes from The Witch Trials, which I think is really fabulous.
And go ahead, Courtney. Sorry.
I would just like to touch on the Salem aspect because, as everyone knows, I have opinions about that every time it comes up. For this movie, there was a little bit of buzz happening in Salem because it's billed as it's the witch, a New England folktale. So everyone knew that that's where it was going. My tour company actually participated in like the giveaways that they do to promote the movie. So we gave away tours as part of it. So we were linked to it. So that was really cool. So when it came out, I was very excited to see it. And it was my first introduction to A24. Fell in love with A24. I'll share my story of my first time watching this movie in a little bit. But what I would like to talk about is I'm usually very opposed to any take on Salem in a film because they do it so horribly. This one, to me, I actually started talking about this movie on my tours when I would give them because this spoke to me in a different way. This was like the stories that they would tell in 1692, don't behave this way because this is what's going to happen to you. So these are the stories that they would tell that would give them nightmares that they were afraid of. And this is the kind of story that built the hysteria for them. Like this is the thing that they were afraid that they were scared of. And so in that way, I appreciated it so much for that reason, because it wasn't just another telling of the Salem witch trials or anything like that, but it still was very distinctly like New England and that time frame and what have you. It was literally a folktale. It was the story. And I think that was really brilliant, really brilliantly done in the way that they did not directly tie it to anything. But from my perspective, as someone who works in Salem in tourism, that was just chef's kiss. I loved that.
And I think it's important to add to that is that they weren't trying, even though they were in a lot of movies since the most amount of Salem stories that were told in Hollywood's history were told in the silent era and over again. They wouldn't stop. They loved that story, but those were all an attempt to tell that story, whether it wasn't quite as direct as like The Crucible, but it was all about that concept. This wasn't quite that. This was more like taking, like you said, the theme of it and what happened and then creating a new story. And those mm-hmm. and that family, they weren't the Puritans. They were too oppressive for even the Puritans. That's why they moved away. So they were even more extremist than what we would consider the extremist Puritans. They weren't even allowed in Salem to be part of those witch trials. They were too extreme for that. Excuse me. So it's really, like you said, you weren't confronting them retelling the same story over again and then failing. He was saying, okay, let's use that and move over here to something else. And that was really a great taste. And also another way he symbolically hit on the idea of extremism and made that symbolic and allegorical for our current times as well.
I wanted to, if I may, I wanted to go back to Jason's point about how it looked like the dialogue came right out of the book. I can't remember, my memory is short, but what I will say is that the imagery in the film reminded me very much of the 17th century woodcuts that one would see. I think it was spot on. A lot of people will say the film was too gray, but I think it was brilliant for it.
I think that's something important to note about an A24 movie, because I feel like they do this with all of their movies, and I don't know how much say the production company has in that or what, but the movies that they put out, it's not just the screenwriting, it's not just the acting, it is the sound, it is the color, it is the cinematic shots, it is everything else like that. It all goes into this one thing. I find that with all of them, that it's just, they play sounds in the background that you may not even know that you're hearing, but is designed to build your anxiety. Like, that to me is insanely cool. So I agree. I think it's not too dark. I think it's beautiful.
I think it's beautiful too. The one thing that I think that didn't seem like they kept the music, they kept the thing, they kept the dark. But Daddy's abs were not 1600 abs.
If you were hungry and you had killed, maybe.
All that ass, all that chopping.
Like a six pack. When he took his shirt off, he's just this nice rough man. He took his shirt off. Those are worked on abs. I'm sorry. I know enough trainers that chopping wood's not going to get that exact six pack.
He chopped a lot of wood. Like of wood.
All right.
I see you, Patty.
I mean, all right. It was pretty. I took off the dirty old shirt, and he's pretty. I had to take the shirt off too, but that seemed awfully modern.
You can also see Anya Taylor-Joy's holes in her earlobes from her earrings if you look closely, which she would not have had at the time, because those would have been far too ostentatious for a family of that type of piety. You know, it's hard to get rid of all of the modern trappings of modern people to make a movie perfect.
Sorry.
I'm just going to stare at his like abs from now on, though, every time I watch this movie.
I think that we need a t-shirt immediately that says Daddy's abs on it, because that there and right there, we've 20 minutes in, we got it. Cut, roll credits, because that's the quote. Daddy's abs.
It's true.
He was fine.
It was fine. It was beautiful. Yeah, I guess I will go. I'll just keep it simple and short. I love the movie personally. I really did have to listen because of their accents, because of the language. I had to listen hard to even understand what they were saying, to even hear what they were. I had the volume all the way up and I still had to listen hard. And I actually liked having to listen hard versus make it come easy. It didn't have to come easy like that. So I noticed that and I like that. On their voices. And it's interesting. I'm glad to look at it different, because Richard Lael, you said the girl started to think she was a witch. I didn't ever think the girl thought she was a witch. I thought she was a girl with actual real personality and she joked around with the kids. But I got that she was always pointing to the little twins, that there was something wrong with them. I don't think she ever thought
it was deflecting, but I think she, when the little girl had taunted her, she says, yes, whatever her name is, yes, I'm a witch. Yes, I'm a witch. And so then it was, she sort of, it was jokey. And then when things started going awry and the family started to believe her, and then she's this little tortured girl who's pubescent and everything is so weird and crazy and her family is so extremist, then it, and her family is dead. And then, of course, you don't really know, is she, it's Rosemary's Baby in the sense that is Black Phillip really the antagonist? Is Black Phillip really the devil? Or is she starting to pick up some of the delusions that were preached at her? Because one of the things that I like to talk about when I do readings, I say, if you tell a child that you are dumb and stupid and ugly, then the child will begin to think that they're dumb and stupid and ugly. And especially at that sort of formative years, they started telling her that she was evil, that she was not of God, and that she needed to pray and fast because she was the who was evil. And so she starts allowing herself to, she can't say the Lord's Prayer, which is a prayer that she would have been, they would have said all the time. They would have said this prayer daily, probably 15 times a day, they would have said this prayer. But also when one is under duress, you forget things that you know. So like I said, Rosemary's Baby, is that the devil? Is it evil? Is it in her head? At what point do we leave reality?
Right, that's true. But he offered her butter.
I love butter too. And if Black Phillip were to come to me and offer me butter, I would lick the butter off of
Daddy's. Yeah.
I would lick the butter off of Daddy's abs is what Richard said. I love this episode.
It is Halloween. We're bringing out our best material.
Our best material.
Starting with purple velour.
Really quick, I just want to. Someone said in the comment, I watched once, then I watched a second. Oh, it was Corey Parson. I watched once, and then I watched a second time through with subtitles. So I had to do the same thing because I have raging ADHD, and I could not for the life of me understand what was happening. I saw it in the movie theater. I was so excited to see it, and I was working an overnight job at the time. And unfortunately, it was so slow and so hard to understand for me at the beginning. And I just couldn't follow what was going on that I fell asleep. And then I woke up in the movie theater to like blood and screaming. And I was like, what's
happening? The witch from the sea.
Yes, it was another. It happens to me. So then I had to watch it again at home with the subtitles on. And then it was like, oh, okay, I figured it out. But yeah, I agree with that. I love the way that they talk. Like it once I caught on to it, like it, that was awesome. And I don't necessarily need the subtitles now, but I use them with everything anyway.
Yeah. I think your reaction to this silence and being bored in the theater, I think that's one of the reasons was it wasn't universally loved, billed as a horror, but there weren't a ton of jump scares. This is not a typical horror. This is not Halloween 3, thank goodness, but this is not even a good horror in that respect. This is a haunting movie. This, yes. The horror of this is that it's haunting. It's in those gray scenes. It's in its slowness. It's in the slow build.
Yep.
You know, and a lot of people went in thinking this was going to be a jump scare. And I think there's one jump scare in the entire thing and it's like three quarters in. And people just, it wasn't marketed for people to understand what they were going into. So they were disappointed when they came out. And that's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate because they missed out on what is really frightening about this. It's the horror is in its hauntingness, and the horror is in the symbolism of how it applies to our world today, the allegory that's embedded in it. And I did want to comment on what Richard Lale said about whether she's fantasizing, at what point do we enter reality and all that stuff. I would also argue that we could argue that a lot of this was in her head or a lot, like we can argue that maybe this was all part of the fear, the building fear. But what if we took it for what if we took it literally? What if we took it more literally? And Black Phillip was a conduit for a devil figure, a folkloric devil figure. And we had the old woman in the woods. She's obviously a folkloric magical figure. We have the wild wood. And what if this was allegorically about a girl's coming of age story, like every other witchcraft? Because she is of that age, 16, the classic time when girls find magic in movies and stories, the fairy tale age where you become something else, where you find, whether it's your prince, if you're Snow White, or if you're Sabrina, you realize you're magical. So here we have Richard Robert Eggers encapsulating that concept of the girl's coming of age story through magic and through the freedom of making the pact with the devil, the freedom of finding yourself, of finding who you are authentically. We could take that as magical people. We could take that part of it as, that's how I saw it. That's the one way I saw it. She's finding her freedom from this oppressive regime at the age of 16 through magic. So that is a classic story.
Isn't that the great part about this movie, though, is that you can interpret it like half a dozen ways?
Yeah.
And nobody can really tell you that you're wrong. So yes. I am all about the empowerment story at the end. That's my favorite take on the film.
Yeah, yeah.
Black Phillip is real, the devil. But also when I was watching it in the theater for the first time, I thought this is all playing out in her head, right? Like she's broken. She's watched her family die and everything drift away from her. And now this is her happy ending that she's making up, because people don't float in the woods and goats don't turn into people. Also researching this film, you read Christians and they talk about the events of the film, how the father lies about some of the things that he's done. This son looks at Thomason in a very creepy way, and all of these sins add up and explode, and it's punishment from God for their lack of true morals or something. You can just read this movie in so many ways, and that's why it resonates so strongly with people.
I wanted to say, on that topic of punishment from God, I find it also very intriguing that the God, to trick someone means that they are entering into things unaware, and yet this Puritan God is so vengeful and hateful that he could have prevented the serpent, and he could have prevented Black Phillip. He could have done that, but he didn't, and he allowed the devil to trick them and then punished them for allowing his creation to trick them when he put the creation there in the first place. Like, it's this weird sort of cyclical thinking that it's so phenomenal. I also like the fact, too, that on the topic of 2016 and the satanic panics that have been progressively getting worse and worse. We went through it in the 70s and 80s. We're going through another one now, starting around 2016.
One quick joke about Richard Lale's comment. This is what he says is why this is not like the Puritans movie coven.
I saw it. I'm going to go back where I started. This to me was a relationship movie, and more than anything else. And that's where the horror and the terror, and I felt for every one of them. And to me, she was the only good one. They all had such evilness to, from daddy to mommy was horrific, and the other children. And it made me that much happier when at the end, I'm going, Black Phillip is real. And yes, people can float in the woods. Mm-hmm. See her happy for the first time, ecstatically happy. It was just beautiful, but it was paranoia, everybody, this, that, mistrust. It's like, good Christian family. It's like, good God, give me the.
I think too, like on that same vein, like that's what I took from the coming of age story, but in a different way, that choice of empowerment, but in a different way, which are both things that I love, but it was in such just a raw, like that. Thomason, her siblings say things like, oh yeah, mother hates you. Like they all know that so imagine living that life where like you are the literal black sheep of your family and everybody blames everything else on you, that you're playing peekaboo with the baby and the baby goes away and it's your fault somehow. And like all of these things that you can only imagine built up her whole life because this is what she lives. And then now everybody's gone crazy and finally you're so sick of it, your mother is attacking you and you just stab her to save your life. And then in that moment, it's like, what do I do now? And, you know, along comes Black Phillip, who I also want to go with was real. And wouldst thou like to live deliciously? There's my quote. Yes, I would love to live deliciously because I've lived literal hell this whole time and I need to escape it into the woods. And the woods becomes the safe haven and the coven becomes the family. And to me, that mimics like my experience into coming into my witchhood. That was really powerful for me once I stayed awake long enough to watch the movie.
And you know what, this theme is not new, and he's taking something that's been around for a long time when it comes to witch films. And I point to a little known film that people don't tend to watch because it's not very good, generally speaking. It's from the 40s. It's a version of Macbeth, where the wild wood, and where it was filmed in such a way that the witches in that film were associated with the wildness, and the rest of the story was associated with the concrete castle in Christianity. And so you had it with the extremism versus the wildness. This was something that Orson Welles was really very interested in projecting. The film is not overall very, very good version of Macbeth, but you see it even as early as the late 1940s and earlier, where the wildness, the wood, it's a scary place, and it's a wild place. It's a place of freedom. And in some movies, it's evil and projected a symbol of femininity and women, which is evil and bad and scary and you need to stay away from. But then in current films, in the last 10 or 15 years, we flipped it. And now, especially in this film, go to the woods because the woods are where you're going to find your freedom, and that's good. Mm-hmm. And that's what we see here. And there's a movie that I hope we talk about in the next few months. She will. It's a current movie. It's, I think, a Scottish movie where you see that even more prominently, about a woman who has, again, been abused in some way. And that's, you know, I talk about this often in the last 10 years. Most witch films demonstrate that witchcraft is something that abused and oppressed women turn to. And I'm saying women, it's not. Obviously, that's what Hollywood's doing. So that doesn't mean that it only applies to women. But Hollywood tends to tell that story.
Obviously, it doesn't only apply to women because we have a bro witch right there.
Yes, exactly. No, it's what Hollywood does, just Hollywood's trend. And so we can have a whole show about male witches and all that good stuff. But it tends to be that Hollywood shows has this canned story about how witchcraft is something that the oppressed and the harmed women turn to. And today, in the last 10 years, that's a positive thing. Think about the rewriting of Maleficent story. It's a perfect example. Think about American Horror Story Coven, all of these stories, The Craft. But in this case, we have the same thing. Here she is. She's being oppressed. She's losing. Her family hates her. The relationship issues, like you talked about, Patty. And so she turns to that place we're all terrified of, that wild place, the woods. Goes back to the core, to the center of the earth, to everything, and goes with this spirit of Black Phillip and finds magic. And I think it's amazingly powerful. I'm like, I'm with you. I'm following you. Let's go.
And where I did say earlier that it was possible that it was in her head, I would like to say, no, I do believe that in the context, I do believe that Phillip is real. And I actually have an into the woods story of my own. I was considerably younger. Now, mind you, I grew up as an extremist religious family. And my parents, who were Pentecostal, my sister married a family who were even more Pentecostal. And anytime that we would go over, my sister's mother-in-law would have to sit in ashes and sackcloth to repent of allowing the devil into her house. We were Pentecostal. But I remember I was about 6 years old, and we had moved. Well, I was five when we moved, but I was 6 years old when my mother had forgotten to pick me up. We moved into the woods. We were actually in the deep, dark wood. And this is one of the first moments where I even myself began to accept maybe there is witchcraft. Maybe there are spirits in the wood. I was horribly teased even as a six-year-old boy. I was that weird kid. I was teased by my family. I was teased at school. And so my mother had forgotten one day to pick me up from school. And it was only a mile back in the woods, and it was not a big deal, but I thought I can walk it. And then as I was walking into those dark, scary woods. In my mind, I kept hearing lions and tigers and bears, oh my, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. And I got to the point where I was terrified. I was about halfway there. I was so petrified, and I was too far in the wood to go back, and I was too far in to sit down. So I went through, and I heard this voice. It was of a feminine voice, but I heard this voice, and she says to me, hold my hand. Don't look to the left or the right. Just hold my hand and I'll guide you home. So I walked home like this, and my mother, who happens to have been in the kitchen, sees me coming down the hill, and she comes out. Oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot. I lost track of time. I'm so sorry. And she says, why are you doing, what is that? What are you doing? And I told her that I had heard this voice, and she thought it was Jesus, but that's okay because she was a Christian. And I didn't know who it was. I just heard a voice. But it was, whether it was in my head or not, whether it was a spirit of the wood or not, whether it was Black Philip in human form or not, it didn't matter. There was empowerment in not being alone in the woods. And I think that is also, that's also the story behind this Thomason. She goes into the woods, she finds her family, she finds herself, she releases all of her pent-up energy. And I will tell you this, as a 15 and 16 year old boy living in the woods, I ran around naked in the woods all night long. I would sneak out of the house and I would howl at the moon, and I would be naked in the woods. And there is something incredibly natural and powerful in doing that.
That was a really magical story, Richard Lael. Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Richard Lael. All right, so who wants to talk next? I have no idea who's talked and who hasn't talked, and I don't know.
I'm just thinking, though, like going over the movie in my head, when Patty wants to get rid of one of us on the show, she's just going to play peekaboo with us.
Oh, wait, Jason's gone.
Prayer to you, Richard Lael. I grew up in the city, so the woods were terrifying because we didn't have woods. We hiked 7 trees and those were woods. And so when I would go to camp, and I talked about this once during a Pagans in the Environment conference event that I was at, where I talked about how crazy it was that I felt safer on 42nd Street and work at night than I did anywhere near trees growing up, because I grew up in. And so there was people all around me there. I go into the woods, and it's the few times that I did get to go into the woods, it was silent. It was dark. There were trees. There were sounds I didn't know. There was not a lot of people. This was absolutely terrifying to me. And it's a totally different experience. Understand that fear. I can keep the woods in a visceral way growing up in a city where most people would be at 42nd Street Avenue at midnight, and I didn't have a problem, you know, doing that, going on subways. That never scared me a bit. But you send me too far into trees, you put too many trees around me back then, and I'd be like, oh my goodness, I am going to be killed by some kind of axe murderer, because that's the way I grew up.
Can I tell another sort of very personal story? So it is another wood story, and it is about what can happen in the woods. Years ago, I had gone back to visit my mother, who was living in near the wood. She'd moved in with my sister, and I met this fellow on the Grindr machine. I'm not going to tell you what that is. And I had gotten so tired of like people finding out who I am and then being terrified of, ooh, the devil. So I said on this app, I said, by the way, come or don't, but you know what? I'm a Satanist, so I don't even care. So I meet this guy, and he drives all the way out to the woods. And I'm at this point, I'm going, oh, crap, I'm going to be murdered in the woods. I'm going to be murdered in the woods. And so the guy shows up, and I said, okay, I'm really nervous. And he says, you're nervous? I drove out to the middle of the woods to meet a Satanist in the middle of the night. And then we went, and we looked at the stars in the wood. And then,
did you live deliciously in the woods, Richard Lael?
I did live deliciously in the woods. The funny thing was, there was a moment where we were standing there, and everything, like you said, Heather, went silent. And then there was this owl that tore out of the woods, and then out of my periphery, I saw a woman standing in the woods. And I said to this fellow, I think it's time to go now. I think it is time we left. We could just go now. Yes, the woods can, they can actually be terrifying.
If I can just real quick go back to something that Heather said. Heather, you used the word visceral, and I think that is the beauty of this film summed up in one word, which is we all of us took something different from it, and it was impactful for all of us, but it's that visceral fear. That's what makes it the horror movie. Whether it's the woods that we're afraid of, or if it's the sinning that we're afraid of, or Black Phillip, or Thomason for whatever reason, or the mother or the father, whatever it is, I feel like it strikes something in everyone in a visceral way, and that's what makes it a great horror.
Yeah. Losing your child.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's so simple. They don't dwell on it. He doesn't overstory any of these points that happen. It just happens. And then they sit there and you are creating the story and the fear with these slow moving storytelling. It just happens. And oh my goodness, that just happened. And oh my goodness, this just happened. And so a lot of the processes of the haunting and the horror are really in our heads. It's similar to what the Blair Witch Project does. A lot of what's going on with the Blair Witch Project, Jason, just turn your light off right now. Turn your light off and be done. There we go. It's Jason. A lot of the way the Blair Witch Project works. What they were doing was left to your head. And this is what, in not saying these are the same films, Jason, relax, take a deep breath, breathe.
We just aren't friendships on thin ice right now, Green.
Well, you know what? We'll work that out. We'll work it out. But anyway, I'm not comparing the two films. Saying is they work in the same way, is that they leave a lot for your brain to do a lot of the heavy lifting with the haunting. And so that's what's so amazing. This is a brilliant film. This is a brilliant film on all levels. I think we all agree that based on what I'm saying. And just very hard to make a film that is so tight and so brilliant on so many levels and work this way. So kudos to him for doing definitely.
It's that sense of dread throughout the whole movie. Absolutely. It just kind of creeps up on you and it just grows and grows and then weighs heavily on you. And then in the last, 10, 15 minutes, it just all blows up all at once. And it's fabulous. And I saw this in the theater with friends of mine who are not witches. My wife and I really enjoyed it. They were so confused the whole way through, expecting traditional horror. And I'm like, this is amazing. And I ran out and got a Black Phillip like almost immediately. I was just so excited talking about this movie. But it's not for everybody. But you have to be patient with it. It pays off in just spectacularly at the end.
I agree.
Someone said to me the end scene where she raises up and is almost like a Jesus moment, is like a Messiah moment. And so I had to think about that. And I get what they're seeing. But I think maybe from our perspective, we don't see the Christian aspect of the rise. Although I do see the symbolism in it. I think I see the freedom in it, the flight. You know, I see the flying witch. Maybe that's because of who I am. But and I don't know who said it. Really, we all got something out of it that's different because it's so symbolic that we can all take away different meanings from it and still think it's amazing.
I just thought that was ecstasy. That she had like joy 1 second of her life, it looks like.
It was like shedding all that heaviness and just becoming light, and all of it is gone. And the release, that's what it was for me.
And that last frame, though, looked like a painting I've seen or something. Just it had this familiarity to me about how people saw witches during this period and for a couple of hundred years after that, which to me makes it even better because I love all those little historical references so much.
So, Jason, do we have our magical movie trailer?
They're so hard to do when you love the film.
Nine times out of 10, Jason, at this point.
What? That I love
the films? You love the films, yeah.
Sometimes our movies are so bad they're good, like a negative times a negative becoming a positive. This movie is something that I just really love, so it was hard. So I hope it's still funny.
Okay.
Here we go. How can you expect me to do one of these movie trailer things for one of my favorite films? These are only easy to do if the movie you are talking about is seriously flawed or just flat out sucks. And we all know that the witch contains no flaws and most certainly doesn't suck. Travel back to the 1630s and meet William and Catherine, a couple so weirdly religious that not even the Puritans want to be around them. Seriously, if your piety is so over that even the Puritans hate you, you have a problem. Undaunted by their exile, William and Catherine head out into the wilderness with their children, Thomas and Caleb, and the freaky twins, Mercy and Jonas. Once in exile, William and Catherine have a fifth child, even though they sleep right next to their other four children. No wonder those kids are all messed up. Thomason, Mom and Dad are making those weird grunting noises again. Go to sleep, Caleb. 'Tis nothing but the Holy Spirit upon them. Things soon get freakier, and that fifth child is soon abducted by a witch. From there, things go straight to hell. Caleb gets sick and dies. Father of the year, William, locks the twins and his daughter in a goat bin. For this sin, William is gored to death by Black Philip, the true star of the picture. Blaming Thomason for everyone's death, Catherine, who also won Mother of the Year, tries to kill her daughter, who in turn kills her mother. Finally, Thomason talks to Black Philip and sells her soul to Old Horny so she can have pretty dresses, travel the world, live deliciously, and eat butter. Christians were horrified by this part of the movie because they prefer margarine, hate pretty dresses, and don't like to leave their counties of origins. But witches? We were like, hell yeah, we don't want no margarine. So watch Thomason step into her power, learn to levitate, and be free of her awful parents. It's The Witch, a movie I can't make fun of, and is one of the best witch movies ever. Now please don't ever ask me to write anything snarky about this absolutely perfect film ever again.
Yay! That's so good.
Good. It still worked. That was good.
It was hard. It was tough to write. It took 8 hours of thinking. I got nothing else accomplished. Wow. My next Llewellyn book's going to be even later than it already is.
Great job. I'm telling your editor.
All right. I thought, again, before we have a couple more minutes, but it is Halloween. It is Samhain. We are witches. Does anybody want to talk about Samhain, what they're doing for Samhain, or what we think about Samhain and things like that? We are witches.
Sadly, my Samhain ritual is next weekend because there's a local event going on this week. We're gathering after the official date of Samhain in early November, but we are going to honor our beloved dead, hopefully meet with them as the veil thins. And then we are also doing this ritual for the Horned God, who we see as the keeper of the gates between the realm of the mortals and those of the dead. So we're really excited about that. Also, Horned God book. Just, we're talking about the folkloric devil. It's all in there.
Beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, on Halloween, the Samhain itself, we have a kitty thing. But my coven, my group, we're getting together just before or just after. It's the idea that counts. And same thing, celebrating the ancestors. Speaking with the ancestors, crossing over. So that's what it's about.
We do. We still, with kids still at home and trick-or-treating, Halloween has always been Halloween for me for the most part, not Samhain. So typically celebrating Samhain on the astrological date and a little bit late. And so we do a family thing. We do most with just my family, and we're having my parents come over this time, and we are all going to honor the ancestors and the people who have gone before, and we're going to have probably a very emotional little time. And we just had a rabbit pass, which of course is one. Also just everybody, relatives, and most likely we'll have some visitors in the house, and we're prepping for those ancestors to visit us. So that's what we'll be doing. We haven't picked the exact date because we want to make sure everybody can attend. It'll be the beginning of November. So, but that's our Samhain. It's very different than Halloween for us.
Me too. I used to do a dumb supper for the dead. Dinner. I usually do that. And I think I'm going to be able to the night before. And I usually do a beating of the bounds too with my broom, taking it across. I claim this as my own. I claim this as my own. That's something I try to always do for Samhain. Mm-hmm,
nice.
Yeah.
I'm a bad witch, not just in the sense that I hex my enemies, but also because I don't know enough about the pagan holidays or the witchy holidays to do anything with them. But like, you guys inspire me all the time when you talk about these things with such passion. Like, I'm still trying to learn about it, and hopefully I can start incorporating some of that. Halloween, though, for me is always my favorite holiday. Halloween is a lifestyle, not just a month of the year, and it is a month for me and not a day. So I'm trying to hold on to my sanity, living through Salem in this October, and give out some treats. My son is wants to hand out candy this year for the first time.
Oh,
yeah. Awesome. So we're going to try to make that pretty special.
That's awesome.
I don't have any plans for, I'll be back. I'll be back here on the 31st, and then I'm supposed to go strolling the French Quarter with a friend of mine, but I may end up by being the recluse that I am. Maybe we'll do a live stream. Who knows, says our producer.
It pops up into the ethers.
I'm down for that. It has to be after trick-or-treating, but I'm down for that.
See, that's the thing, though, with the East-West Coast thing, though. There'll always be trick-or-treaters for some of us, either you all or me and Patty.
Right? Unless, of course, we're
watching. You know why we know that? Halloween 3. That's right. We know that from Halloween 3.
It's all at the same time. Masks at the same time.
Halloween 3 taught us that it like gets darker earlier on the West Coast than it does the East Coast. Right, I think.
Let me add something that Courtney said about being a bad witch and not celebrating the Sabbats. I think you need to just put that out of your head. I'm speaking from my own self to say that to you, is because there's different type of witches, and not every witches honor the Wheel of the Year or the Sabbats. Jason and Patty, I believe, and myself all are coming from Wiccan backgrounds originally. So I think that we do celebrate those. We do have the traditions of learning them, but I know so many witches that do not celebrate and that do not celebrate it in the ways that we're talking about. So you're not a bad witch. You're only a bad witch for hexing your enemies. You're not a bad witch for not celebrating the Sabbath of the Wheel of the Year. There's no rules.
There is no one way to celebrate a Sabbath. There is no wrong way to celebrate a Sabbath. Praise what works for you. Keep that holy and sacred. And that's all that matters.
If Halloween is sacred, then Halloween is.
I say that jokingly mostly because I got real excited when I moved into my apartment that I finally had space to set up an altar for the first time. And I built this beautiful altar and I loved it so much. And it was in my room and I looked at it every day and I touched it every day and I did all the things. And then I had to clean something and I put it in my closet and the ADHD monster took over and it's never come back out of my closet. It lives there now.
Courtney, I will tell you this. From the rules of Wizard of Oz, are you a good witch or a bad witch? Good witches are always pretty. You are not a bad witch.
Listen, I love that. Thank you very much. However, as Tabitha said, the quote, I'm the witch of the wood. I would love to be, I say this all the time. My goal when I grow up is to be the scary old witch that people are afraid of, that's going to eat their children. That's what I strive to be.
I do too.
Shiro. That's what I want to be. So
I want to be the old creepy 70s occultist. That's my goal. And happen tonight.
Can I be the supreme that walks around and sits in the thing and tells people how to do their spells and creeps them out and then puts hexes on only, them and then walks out?
But you also have to perfect the art of the it's naughty pine. Oh my god, the naughty pine.
I love Naughty Pines.
That's the jobs. I'll just be Glenda. I'm working. I've got the dress. I'm working on showing up in the bubble. I need one of those exercise bubbles that people do that. It's just getting it off the ground. I haven't figured it out yet.
Patty rolling down the street in one of those things.
We've all got goals. It's great to have goals. Looking ahead for the next year, we all have some things to achieve. I love this for us. Way to go.
Congratulations. I have
the
pumps
in the suit. I'm ready to go.
Dream bigger. Dream better.
Dream big. We do want to wish everybody a happy Halloween, a happy whatever you celebrate, however you celebrate.
Speaking of celebrating, next week, Jason.
Next week, we will be watching Coco and talking about the delightful movie Coco in honor of the Mexican Day of the Dead.
Yay.
And still dealing with our post-Halloween sugar coma hangovers or whatever it is.
Perfection. All right, we have a couple minutes left. Anybody have anything coming up they want to talk about?
I do want to add that.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I need to give a wands up or down.
Oh, we got there. Oh my God, because I just thought we just all loved it. Okay, wands up. down, and I can't see this group on my thing anymore. One's up, one's down. The chat has disappeared on my page.
Oh, I have it.
Okay. One's up, one's down. Up.
Oh, up. While we're doing this, Lisa said, what's the quote? My quote was, wouldst thou like to live deliciously? That's the quote.
Yeah. Anybody who gives the wands down, Patty's going to be playing peekaboo with them later.
Yeah.
That's right. One up, everybody. And I cannot see what my chat room just disappeared.
We have Lauren's way up.
It's all wands up. It's wands way up.
The witch of the woods took away the chat room.
You played peekaboo with the chat room. Oh, no.
I did. If you're on the West Coast, go watch Ghost Adventure in 2 hours. If you're on the East Coast, you missed it. No, it'll play again at midnight or 1 a.m. or something like that. I also have a new show on Fox Nation, but I hate to tell people it's on Fox Nation. Don't subscribe. It's all about haunted houses. We're at the Biltmore, and I found the secret escape route. So there's lots of fun things going on, and I'm leaving for New Orleans to not see Richard Leal.
I know. I'm leaving at 1 o'clock in the morning to go to Ohio, and I will miss you.
I know, by that much. We'll see you next time. We go a lot. Anyway, anybody else? What are you doing, Jason?
I'll be in Las Vegas in a couple of weeks for Las Vegas Pagan Pride. I think that's November 10th.
Yay. Perfect. Yeah, I've got Michigan Paracon coming up. November 1, 2, 3, something like that. I don't know. We're traveling, witches. We got brooms.
I just want to add real quick that if anyone is looking to purchase my book, Llewellyn has a sale right now. You can get it through Amazon. It's a Halloween sale. Not only my book, but a number of other books related to Halloween and on sale through Llewellyn through Amazon. So go to Amazon and get that discount on my book and a number of other wonderful Llewellyn Halloween holiday books.
It's a fabulous book. Everybody, all of you guys who are interested enough and watch our show should have Heather's book. Really. Yay. I'll just hold my goal.
Then you can predict what I'm going to say.
Okay. We're late. We're 1 minute late. We have one more thing to do. And you guys in the chat room, whether I can see you or not, do it too, or we're going to play. 1, 2, 3.
Happy Halloween.